Welcome to the Orchard Hard Drive. Written and read by Michael Muto. Well, folks, here we are. It is the start of September, the first show of September, and this is it now, folks. We are in autumn. It is the cozy season. It's cozy season mixed in, of course, with the spooky season, which is Halloween coming up very soon. And I'll have to have something very spooky for Halloween, of course. But back to today. I have a few different things I want to share with you now today. So I've got two longer stories, and in the middle of those two, I've got two shorter pieces I wanted to share with you here in the podcast. They've been uploaded to my website first, but I wanted to put them in here in the podcast too. But now, here is the first story today. This is called Voice Notes from a Wormhole. Dear Diary, I have fallen into a wormhole and I am very annoyed. It all started earlier this morning. I was in the lab when Brian showed up. He was full of himself as usual, but worse today. He had gotten the grant. Him. That absolute idiot. Why? Why give it to Brian? Brian? Really? I still don't get it. I've worked my fingers to the bone, and for what? For him to give it to Brian, I just... Anyway, long story short, I lost my temper and told him to get out. Could I have conducted myself better? Sure, of course I could. Maybe I didn't have to say he had a face that looked like a bulldog that's eaten a wasp. In reflection, that was not best. I also could have been looking where I was going while I was waving my arms about angrily. I could have taken the time to turn off the machinery. Of course I could have. And yet, I did not. I fell into the machinery backwards as I was flinging curse words at Brian. I mean, Brian isn't that bad. No, he actually is. I still don't get why they have no... No. I'm going to be more relaxed. The bigger region anyway. Who leaves a wormhole generator on? Come on. You learned that day one. Don't leave a wormhole generator on. That's basic. Well, here I am, Diary. Drifting aimlessly through an endless tunnel. It's a bit boring, to be honest. Diary, why do I allow myself to get so annoyed by Brian? We went to school together. I've known him for years. But he really does annoy me. Like, right, getting the grant. You can get a grant and not come into where I work and lord it over me. You could just get the grant and, you know, not come in and annoy me. Get on with the work. Anyway, I kind of did the same when I applied. I went into his office and danced around, saying how I'd applied and I'd get it. Actually dancing around. I deserved him coming in tonight, me. And I think if I'm actually being honest with myself, I know he deserved it. That's why I overreacted. Well, what's done is done. I guess everyone has a story like this. Getting annoyed with someone and ending up in a wormhole. Right, so maybe not exactly like this. Would this wormhole ever end? I've been floating here for like an hour now. Nice colors. Dear Diary, it's been 20 minutes since my last entry. I am very bored. My phone has no signal. But at least I can record voice notes. Well, Diary, what's to actually be said? I am hurling through a vortex, which was very exciting, but now I'm bored. Dear Diary, it's a little later. Maybe 5 minutes? I really need to use the bathroom. Dear Diary, I can see in the distance. There's someone heading my way. It looks like they're in another wormhole, right next to mine. Wait a second.
It looks like there's someone up ahead.
That looks like me. That is me. Oh,
it's me again.
There they go. There I go. That was cool. I wonder what caused that. Well, That was interesting. Dear Diary, something weird just happened. I feel like I made a U-turn. Like I'm going back the way I came. Hang on. Maybe I'm actually being pulled backwards. Maybe the people back at the lab have set the machine to retrieve me, and I'll arrive at the lab. Of course, that's what's happening. Phew. Right, guess I'll wait. Well, not much else to do, really. Dear Diary, it looks like there's someone up ahead. Wait, it's me again. Hang on. What if that's the me from earlier? What if traveling through this wormhole, I somehow passed myself and... I'm too tired to think. Dear Diary, I just had a thought. I'm going to arrive back at the lab. Back with Brian, back with everyone. He'll have taught them everything. How I got so annoyed at how I danced the other day. Like, I really went ham with that dancing. It was obnoxious. Oh, hang on, Diary. At my feet. It looks like the end of the vortex. Yes, I'm getting out! Dear Diary, what a day. From Brian telling me he got the grant, to me falling into a wormhole. Then arriving back at the lab and everyone laughing at me. Turns out Brian had asked for the CCTV tapes and they're all watching me dance as they waited for me to get back. Still, it's nice to be home again. Oh, hang on. Did I actually turn off the wormhole generator before I left? And now for some shorter pieces. The first one you're going to hear is Box of Creatures, followed by What I Did This Weekend.
Hello folks, I'd like to introduce you in a new product called Box of Creatures, Box of Creatures, just in time for Halloween. You open the Box of Creatures and you see what you've got inside. Okay, these are live living creatures now folks, so you know, we're gonna be careful with these things. Now I gotta open the box. Oh gee! There's so many creatures inside this box, it's so frightening. Anyway, let's open, I mean it's perfectly safe. Let's open the box again and oh gee! You know, there's some creatures in there, and they're great. I worship those off to you as soon as possible, okay? Whatever you tell us at $99.99.
It was a typical Friday night. I was out with my friends, and they were drinking milkshakes while I was riding around on my skateboard wearing a leather jacket and sunglasses. All my cool friends were complimenting me on my amazing skateboard tricks, which, I have to admit, were pretty great. Then it happened. There was a loud rumbling sound. Then a huge crack in the ground opened up, and there was lightning, and then out from the ground came a huge T-Rex. It roared and turned and faced me and my friends. My friends got scared and asked me to do something. Luckily, I had just read an article about T-Rexes and knew exactly what to do. I got on my skateboard again and sped around the T-Rex, making it dizzy. While dizzy, I did a great trick and hopped up on its tail. I zoomed right along to its head and did another great trick. The T-Rex went spinning and went right down into the hole it crept out of. A quick kickflip and I was back on the ground. All my friends were clapping and cheering and saying how great I was and everything, and handsome. The crack sealed back up and you'd never know it was even open. So if you go back there, you won't see it. So don't go back and look. There's no point, because, you know, it's all sealed up. And my friends, they moved away to a different school in another country, so you won't be able to ask them about it. Oh, and I lost my skateboard, and that's why I can't do tricks right now, so, you know, don't bother asking me. But I can totally do amazing, cool tricks. But, you know, like I say, typical Friday night for me, really. If anything, it was kind of boring. For me, I mean. You know, because I'm always doing exciting things. I mean, it's not like the time I helped rescue those people from... I forget. That one's probably a bit too exciting for you. Maybe next time. And now, for our final story. Tentacle in the Pipes. Nikki and Todd had just moved into their new home. It was perfect, nestled in an idyllic little village. They couldn't wait to start their life together there. They'd gotten married a few months ago and moved in a few weeks ago. Still getting to know them, they invited some neighbours over to their house for an early autumn get-together. still warm enough outside, but not too warm that you wouldn't want to light jackets. Nikki was excited about their first party at their new house. So far, all their neighbours seemed lovely. Having started her job as a teacher at a local school, she had already met some of the parents. She was setting up the entertainment system while Todd was busy making dinner and all kinds of snacks. He was a baker and commuted daily to a town close by. He was equally excited, if only to show off his culinary skills. The house was filled with the smell of baked goods in the early Saturday afternoon. So much so that their closest neighbour Oliver came over. He apologised for being so early, but had to see what was being baked. Oliver was retired, having been a bus driver for years. It was being a bus driver for the school that Nikki and he had bonded over at first. Oliver offered to help set up, as he was there already. Todd said that would be great, and handed him some buns fresh from the oven to put on the table. Later in the day, and more neighbours arrived. People were chatting inside and outside of the house. People complimented their home and Todd's beautiful baked goods. It was then that they first saw it. Well, it was actually Oliver. He had asked where the bathroom was and excused himself from the party. He made his way down the hall and closed the door. He lifted the lid of the toilet bowl, and there it was, a tentacle. A huge green tentacle. Oliver slammed the toilet lid shut. But it was no good. The tentacle pushed the lid open and slid around the bathroom, knocking bottles off the sink and breaking the toilet brush. Oliver grabbed the bathroom door and fled screaming. He told everyone what had happened, and they just laughed. "Old Oliver with his jokes," said a neighbour. Oliver protested and demanded people come and look. Nikki looked at Todd, and they could tell Oliver was genuinely upset. Everyone followed him down the hall. He told them all to stay back, because whatever was in there, it was dangerous. Everyone could now hear the noise coming from the bathroom. They knew there really was something to fear even before he opened the door. Oliver slowly moved his leg and gently kicked the door open. There it was, swinging and smashing everything. The horrible green tentacle. Todd told everyone to stay back. He didn't need to, as people were already making their way to the doors. Nikki pulled Oliver back, and they made their way to the living room. Nikki asked what they could do. "What do you do with a tentacle in your toilet?" Oliver then said how he knew someone, a man named Dale. Dale was a handyman, he'd know what to do. The couple were sceptical, but the situation was desperate. It couldn't hurt calling. After about 20 minutes of waiting, hearing the tentacle trash in the bathroom, there was finally a knock at the door. There, in the light of the hall, stood a short, stocky man. He had sharp grey hair and stubble on his face. "Hiya, Dale," said Oliver. "You found the place anyway." Dale nodded and asked to be shown the bathroom. Dale wasted no time. With the toolbox in hand, he made his way down the hall. Nikki and Todd begged him to be careful. Dale nodded and slowly pushed open the door. "Ah, yeah," said Dale. "True enough, a tentacle. Shouldn't be too tough of a job," said Dale, as he put his toolbox down and opened it, taking out a large spanner, which he started to hit the tentacle with. As he tried to fight the green creeping monster back, another smashed through the sink, then another through the bath. There he was, fighting back three tentacles with a spanner. "This is no good," said Dale. "I'll need a frying pan or something." Todd ran and got it and threw it to Dale. Dale, now armed with a spanner in one hand and a frying pan in the other, fought the creature back. One mighty smack with the pan, and the creature went back through the pipes out of the bathroom. Dale fell to his knees to catch his breath. Nikki and Todd thanked him for all he'd done, but Dale put his hand up to stop them from entering. "There's no way this beast is finished," said Dale, and sure enough, they could feel a rumbling. Dale told everyone to get back. The toilet exploded, and the creature smashed up through the floor and up through the wall, destroying the bathroom and revealing itself to be gigantic. Now fully unsubmerged, its enormous frame was larger than the house. Dale quietly nodded and excused himself to his van. Todd, Nikki and Oliver walked out after him to see what he was doing. Dale sat in the van and shouted for them to stay back. He pressed a button and the van started to transform into a huge robot. The front of the van, where Dale comfortably sat, was now the head. "Right, you big green tentacle beast, let's fight!" shouted Dale as he charged in. At this point, everyone was out of their homes looking up at the battle. Dale's robot grabbed a tentacle and pulled it up from the ground. It was a huge green mass of a slimy ball with tentacles around it. It slammed down onto the ground again. Then it wrapped a tentacle around the arm of the robot. "Oh, we're playing like that, are we?" said Dale as he pulled a lever and the arm, not grabbed, with a tentacle raised up, the hand retracted, and it was replaced with a huge spanner. Dale smacked it, making it let go. Dale, now free, pressed the button and the robot's chest opened, revealing a laser cannon. If the creature had a face, it would have looked terrified. Dale fired. The beam fired across the autumn night sky, and upon making contact with the creature, it was vaporized. The people of the village all cheered and met Dale after he'd transformed his robot back into a van. He nodded but said it wasn't a big deal, he was just glad he could help. Then walked into the house and down the hall where the bathroom was. He was joined by Nikki, Todd and Oliver. They looked down into the huge hole the creature had left. "It'll take ages to repair all this," said Nikki. Dale put his toolbox down and opened it again. He pulled out a gun of some kind. Everyone else gasped and stood back. Dale aimed and found a wall nearby, firing out a grappling hook. He attached the end to a loop on his belt and picked up his toolbox and lowered himself down the hole. "What are you doing?" asked Todd. "Finishing the job," said an echoey Dale. Soon they were out of sight as Dale arrived at the bottom. He pulled out a flashlight. "I know there's more of you down here," said Dale as he walked into the darkness. Tunnels that seemed to go on forever. The creature had been busy before it got to Todd and Nikki's house. He turned a bend and saw a tentacle. He ran towards it. The tentacle rose up off the ground. Dale raised his light to get a better look, and it went on and on until he saw it connected to a large green ball just like the other creature and about as big. Dale followed the creature as it moved along the tunnel, seemingly unaware of him. The batteries in Dale's light started to go. Soon he was in darkness. He didn't know where he was or where the giant tentacle creature had gone. "What are the chances of losing a giant green monster?" thought Dale. He fumbled around, then kicked a stone, and it went over an edge. He could hear it took a long time for it to reach the bottom. "I'd be very careful if I were you," said a voice. Dale then was suddenly startled and slipped. Luckily for him, there was a root to grab onto. The owner of the voice got closer. They stood on the cliff edge above Dale, holding a lit wooden torch. Dale could see they were wearing a strange mask. The figure standing on the cliff edge, Dale holding on for dear life, and now he could hear that familiar slithering of the creature, only it was multiple. How will Dale get out of this one? Find out next time. This has been the Orchard Hard Drive. Tune in next time for Tentacle in the Pipes, Part 2. And other stories. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app, and while you're there subscribing, don't forget to leave a rating and review of the show. For more, go to michaelmuto.com. This has been Michael Muto. See you next time.